Meeting in order on May 5th, if we could stand, we'll have Nick lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands on the nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Like to just start out with saying good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Do we have approval of the minutes from April 7th and April 28th?
So move, Potter.
Second, Tobias.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. All right, Sheriff, you are up. Where's your apron?
Laundry.
Mills's didn't need to go through the laundry. His is spotless.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
Got a few combinations to do this morning.
Sheriff, is your mic on?
Is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
There we go. I'm so loud, I can't hear if it's on or off. This is Correction Officer Marquesa Griffin. And on March 22nd, 2025, she was supervising Unit 1 in our jail. She heard screaming from cell 5 and observed a female incarcerated person in a supine position laying down with a white cord around her neck. The incarcerated person exhibited signs of extreme distress consistent with the blocked airway. Officer Griffin entered the cell, observed that she had wrapped an earbud cord multiple times around her own neck and wrist, causing intentional choking. Officer Griffin attempted to remove the cord, but was unable to break it as it was embedded in her skin. Officer Griffin then alertly used her unit keys to get under the cord, cut the cord, and free it from the person's neck. Officer Griffin then immediately began life-saving treatment, which revived the person. Officer Han, who was on the unit for medication distribution, called for assistance. The incarcerated person was removed for medical treatment and made a full recovery. So I, Sheriff Allard, do hereby commend Corrections Officer Marquesa Griffin for her professionalism, leadership, and service. Not only did you display excellent attention to detail, but quickly and efficiently stopped a suicide attempt, thus saving the life of an inmate. Thank you for your professionalism, integrity, leadership, and service.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Yeah. And this is for you. I'm not sure I would have thought of using the keys. That was awesome. Good job. All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Marquesa. Deputy Schwarlow. I should have done Owen next because then it would have been in size of height. This is Deputy Micah Schwarlow. He's one of our canine officers. Canine Mac teams up with him. And on April 11th, 2025, in the evening hours, Deputy Schwarlow was on patrol when he received a call from a Savona resident reporting that he was away from home, but could see on his security cameras that his home was on fire. He contacted Deputy Schwarlow directly, who happened to be in the Savona area when he received the call and was on scene within 2 minutes. The structure was fully engulfed in smoke and flames. Deputy Schwarlow, knowing the family and that the family had pets, checked to make sure that they were still inside or outside and attempted to enter the residence by the front door to get the pets to come outside. Two cats came out. However, it was later learned that one cat and the family dogs did not. Deputy Schwarlow then worked with a neighbor to rescue a calf that was in a pen next to the home, moving it to a safe location. He stayed on scene until the homeowner returned. Deputy Schwarlow then offered compassion and understanding to the homeowner, apologizing for not being able to save all the family pets. These actions were so remarkable to that resident that he sent me a 2-page letter commending Deputy Schwarlow, his actions, especially his compassion. I, Sheriff Allard, do hereby commend Deputy Micah Schwarlow for his professionalism, leadership, and service. Not only did you display courage in attempting to save the pet still in a burning home, but you displayed compassion and understanding, which made the difference to a family in crisis. Thank you for your professionalism, integrity, leadership, and service.
We got to shake my hand and look at that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I know, terrible to look at.
Thank you, sir. Very proud of you, Micah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You for what you do.
Thank you.
All right. Now, you guys have met Deputy Owen before. He's back again. You're getting used to seeing you.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yes, it is. This is Deputy Owen. He's our paramedic deputy. And on April 19th, 2025, in the late morning hours, Deputy Brandon Owen and Sergeant Matt Wood were on patrol when they received a call that a bicyclist had been struck by a vehicle on Victory Highway in Painted Post. New York State Police were on scene and handling the crash. Deputy Owen listened to the call and, while responding to the scene, requested information on the patient's status. Upon receiving that, he ordered air medical be launched. Once he arrived, he was the only paramedic on scene. He assessed the patient and began an IV. And it was not an easy IV because due to the severity of the injuries. Upon the arrival of AMR, Deputy Owen continued to support medical treatment and transition the patient to a backboard and helped to load the patient into the ambulance, all the while installing an airway into the patient while they're moving him. While the patient was being transported to the air medical landing site, the patient lost pulse. Deputy Owen then began two-person CPR with one of the ambulance personnel. Once the flight crew arrived and began treatment, Deputy Owen removed himself from the ambulance to resume law enforcement duties. During this time, Sergeant Wood was also on scene and assisted with locating witnesses and family of the patient, helping to manage a chaotic scene. Coopers Plains Long Acres Fire Department Chief Todd Hall again notified me via email of the outstanding work that Deputy Owen and Sergeant Wood did in their attempt to save the life of that patient that day. I, Sheriff James L. Allard, do hereby commend Deputy Sheriff Brandon Owen for his professionalism, leadership, and service. Not only did you display outstanding and timely medical treatment skills, but also compassion and understanding of a chaotic and tragic scene. Thank you for your professionalism, integrity, leadership, and service. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, all three, for what you do.
Thank you.
No, unfortunately. Unfortunately, no. All righty. Bid awards. Our first authorization for a bid award is for the upgrade battery backup only. It's in the budget, and it goes to CDW-G in the amount of $5,818. And that's for the battery backups in the jail.
I'll move it.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Our second item is a bid award for dental equipment for jail use. That goes to Prime Care in the amount of $25,431.95. And they were the only bidder.
I'll move it.
We have a motion and a second.
Sorry, do you have a question?
I was only going to ask if they ended up getting equipment. I know you guys were looking for dental equipment. Okay.
Yes.
Probably worth noting that there is funds in the budget because essentially if we were not to do this, you're transporting to Allegheny, correct? And that's a cost. So
yes,
we estimate about a $20,000 in talking with Chris, about a $20,000 annual savings by having that in-house instead of transporting.
Go ahead, Hilda.
They will. Yes.
We haven't done this
before. No, this is new. Mm-hmm.
Did we get the copies of those two bids emailed to us or?
Nope.
I think we just got them Friday from Andy.
Okay. I guess going forward, it would be helpful if we can get them, even if it's over a weekend, to look at them.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
All right, my next item is in the capital project for the jail fencing. There's still $6,140.66. That project is complete. We'd like to move that money to minor equipment and purchase 7 Glocks, the new pistols, sights and lights for our instructors to have, so that they have their, they don't have to get one out of the vault that the correction officers will have to use when they go up to instruct.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions?
So this totally depletes that jail fencing capital project balance?
Correct. Yep. Closes it out.
Sheriff, that was the fence above at the second, second yes, floor fence.
The second tier fence. Yep.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. And number 4, approval of meeting expense. We did an employee appreciation luncheon. I paid for the food out of my pocket. I'd like to get reimbursed if you so choose. The amount of $227.
Is this the pizza, Sheriff?
This is the pizza, yes.
I went to that, just to let everyone know that my wife and I stopped there, and it was kind of seeing the sheriff cooking out there. And for some reason, Mills was extremely clean. He didn't, you know, I think all he was doing was flipping the pizza, but the guards and stuff and the deputies that came seemed very appreciative of it. So
how much pizza did you eat?
2 slices.
2.
But I did ask how many pizzas they made. So, you know, I think when I was there, they're on pizza 44 or 47. So for $227, I'm not sure where he bought all those
60 pizzas. Yes.
Yeah, it actually was.
The garlic butter is a secret. That's the secret.
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
I have one other item that's not on the agenda, but it's more of an FYI thing. With our contracts with other counties to house in and house out, I just wanted to let you know that currently we have contracts with Tompkins, and we need approval for Yates, Schuyler, Livingston, Allegheny, Chemung, Ontario, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua. I believe the way the resolution was written, I have the ability to enter into those agreements, but I just want to make sure you guys are all aware of those are the whole big group that we're working with right now.
Do we need to take any action on that?
No, I think you're okay.
Just to let you know.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I guess Noel, you're up. Or nope. Joan.
Joan.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
The first item on the agenda is to talk about the discovery process, and this has more to do with the vehicle and traffic discovery process that we're currently using. As many of you know, we have between 18,000 to 36,000 traffic tickets that our office deals with every year. We previously had an attorney who was dedicated quarter time. He left. We all might know who he is. Who handled all our any attorney related issues when it came to vehicle and traffic discovery issues, which is most of you probably are aware. Every ticket, there has to be discovery sent out 15 days prior to trial. Otherwise, the ticket can get dismissed. May sound like not a big deal to most of you, but some of these tickets are pretty intense. Going on 390 in Wayland, speeders could be as high as 120 miles an hour. So these tickets matter. We don't ignore them. We try to address each and every one that we can. So without our former ADA, who's there to assist in that, we are hoping to make some modifications to save in doing some of the tasks that Attorney Roselle used to do. We have also attempted to hire for a quarter-time position, and I don't know how, if any of you are aware, how difficult that can be to hire a full-time ADA, let alone a quarter-time ADA, with no benefits. So at the present time, what our proposal is to do is to make some modifications to that so that our investigators, there's five investigators right now, who would review some of our diversion applications to see whether or not the applicant is eligible for diversion. And we have investigators who are more than capable of doing that. They can review driver's abstracts. They're trained to do that prior to even coming to our office to determine whether or not the applicant would be eligible to go through diversion. In the event that the applicant's not eligible or does not want diversion and the matter is going to go to a trial, which happens, then the ADAs would assist in that discovery process and make sure that the discovery goes out timely and is out in before the trial. What I think Brooks is looking for and is to assign these types of tasks in-house. It would be on a case-by-case basis based on the number of caseload that the investigator or the ADA has and how available they are to review each case, and it would be rotate within our office. Marcy Trimble also has learned the attorney discovery process, so she will be instrumental in helping assist the attorneys. But I can't speak enough. Last week, I had a very complicated discovery issue that one of our investigators stopped, drop, and roll on one of my cases. They're invaluable, and their skills are amazing when it comes to finding discovery, especially on vehicle and traffics, which sometimes seem to fall between the cracks and, you know, people forget about either law enforcement or office. We need to make sure we stay on top of these. So we are asking that be approved. I think it's $45 an hour, Jack. You had
$45 an hour. It's approximately $21,000 a year. So this is a follow-up of a conversation we had 2 months ago where you folks and admin approved. And it could have been my misinterpretation. And we've had meetings, as Joan said, with Brooks to clear it up that it was going to be attorneys doing that work. But Brooks, just as Joan has explained, that a lot of the prep work can be done by investigators outside of their normal hours. So it would essentially, it's not overtime, it's additional duties like we talked about last time. And the $45 is pretty close to their hourly rate as well as, so it won't change any of the dollars that were discussed before. It's just authorizing the title of investigator or senior investigator, whatever the case, part-time investigator, whatever the case may be, to be able to work on this.
And when Jack talked to me about this, I don't remember us talking about the investigators either. I think we had talked about, you know, the attorneys doing it, but as far as, you know, probably sometimes the investigators can get it done quicker and they might even have more knowledge. So it doesn't actually, like my analogy to Jack was, it doesn't change the pie. It just slices it different. Mm-hmm. It's the same dollar value. So as long as the work's getting done in that same office, I don't have a problem with it. But what are any other comments or thoughts?
Agree.
I'm fine with it.
I'll move it.
All right. We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Scott.
Of the, did you reference 18,000 VT tickets a year?
18,000 tickets a year, office.
Of those, how many actually end up going to trial?
That's hard to say. I wouldn't say
10%.
Probably 10%. Okay. And 5 to 10% probably. We try to resolve as many as we can prior to trial, but there are some that we just can't. Certainly they're and they're serious. Some of these tickets are serious and they can't be ignored. No questions asked.
Are they only the ones that we have to do the discovery on, or we have to do discovery on 18,000?
No, we only do discovery on the ones that go to trial. And sometimes there's an attorney, just so you know, there's an attorney who's trying to make a name for himself. And I'm not sure if Noah was aware of this. I was discussing it on the way over here that some of our ADAs are complaining about, and the county attorney probably has dealt with him a few times, but he's trying to get to the Court of Appeals and he's trying to make some case law. So he's hammering our office because we're a pretty big VTL county because we have 86 and 390 going through us. And so he's finding us to be a little bit of a target and trying to make case law. So it is, to be quite frank, prior to discovery, sometimes you could resolve a felony, prior you could resolve a VTL case, but right now with discovery, they're entitled to body cam and statements and pleadings and, you know, supporting depositions. And last week I had a felony case that I was a little bit panicked that I couldn't get a hold of an officer, couldn't seem to make them understand how important this document that I was seeking was. His position was, well, the sheriff's department took that and it's their problem. And it wasn't. It's you know, regardless of the agency, it's your problem. So Mark Procopio went above and beyond, and truly, you know, it was amazing what that man did for me in this felony case. They can speak the language that sometimes I can't, or they don't have the time to do. So, and sometimes they prefer to talk to law enforcement versus pushy attorneys that are on their way out to court. So our investigators are an incredibly, a huge asset to our office. They can speak the language sometimes that we don't always.
Joan, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Joan, but the attorney you're talking about is trying to make a name for himself. We've had that attorney, my wife has had that attorney in Lindley and in Campbell.
Correct.
And requesting a trial. So then they have to do all that work to prep for a trial. But then if they realize, hey, we're not going to win the last day, they want a deal. But that doesn't help their office because they had to be trial ready, even right. though it doesn't end up in a trial. They had to be ready for it.
That's correct.
And then the local town hall is calling for jurors, putting more work on. And then they want to settle, you know, but it's that one attorney that I've been hearing the name quite a bit.
Yes, and he's everywhere, probably. If we're talking about the same attorney, he's trying to make some case law, and he's trying to do it he's picking some of the bigger counties, and we're obviously geographic, we're huge. So he's found us.
That's why attorneys are so popular with the public.
And that's why we need investigators to speak to other law enforcement, because they don't always know about it either. Right. So we always value their input. And I got to tell you, some of our investigators do some of our most important work in our office, and I'm very grateful for them. Frequently, especially when I'm in a panic or I'm in a training down south and they're trying to find documents for me too. So they're invaluable.
So we had a motion and a second. We started to vote, but we never finished it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries.
And the second reason why I'm here, and I don't know if Mr. Brewer wants to participate in part of this, is we're working on our courtroom improvement project. And this is one thing that I think attorney, the public defender and I might agree on, maybe. You're going to. Okay. Let the record reflect that Sean Sorrow and Joan Mary agreed on something.
It's in the minutes. It's in the minutes.
So, I appreciate that. So again, we're moving forward with our courtroom modernization project. I think Mr. Baker, the DA, would like to be here today after the last trial he had and the number of electronics that he had and the things that they had to do in that particular trial. So again, I think we're asking for approval of the MOU, if I'm correct, Mr. Brewer?
Yep, requesting authorization to enter in the MOU with OCA for 4 courtrooms to be furnished and upgraded with all new electronics.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Go ahead, Hilda.
Going to get on the waiting list, right?
So as we discussed last month, we did verbally tell them last month that we're good to move forward. So they're going to be here Thursday for their second walkthrough, which basically gives them an equipment list to start from so they can start procurement on their end. So we're already into their queue. Yeah, so it's moving along.
And Brooks and I are planning on being there Thursday just so that you know, we can have a few little conversations about, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do because it's the Office of Court Administration and welcome to our world. But there are certain areas in the courtrooms that Brooks and I have tried enough cases that we know, hey, there's the blowers are blowing over the jury box and think just a few things just to meet with them and get face to face. But yeah, they're coming. And I think Chris is going to planning on being there also. This is stage one. So hopefully we move to stage two quicker is what our plans are. But we're just asking for permission to move forward with this.
Right. We have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Last request is to authorize a transfer of $240,000 from the unrestricted fund balance to either contracted services or consultants professionals. Which one fits that?
Let's do contracted services.
10-4.
If you folks are okay.
Yep. And as stated before, this is the max amount that we will pay as a county. Correct.
Yes.
I'll move it, Potter.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Tim.
Good morning. Got a few items for you this morning. First item is approval of the 911 transfer switch maintenance agreement. This is a 5-year agreement in the total amount of $12,417.53.
I'll move it.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions?
Are we coming off from a previous 5-year maintenance agreement, and what's happened with the costs?
This is a brand new transfer switch that we put in, 2023, Ken, maybe 22 or 23. It was after COVID. So I think it's coming off from warranty, and we need to get a annual maintenance agreement on it.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Is this $12,000 a year, or is it $12,000 for the 5 years?
For the 5 years, it breaks down into, bear with me for a second while I bring up the document. It's breaks up to be about just about $2,500 a year.
All right.
And they're giving us a break for having a 5-year agreement. They're giving us a little bit of a discount for having a multi-year agreement.
We have a motion. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Now for the good part.
Yeah.
Got several grant opportunities here that I need to have accepted. First will be the FY24 SICG. This is the State Interoperable Communications Grant. This is what we use for our radio communications system operation and maintenance. $748,369.
Motion, Potter.
I'll second.
They always move quicker, Tim, when it's money coming in.
Yes, I found that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any questions about the grant? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, the next one is the FY24 PSAP grant. This is the funds that we use to offset salaries within 911, and then that funding goes into the capital project. So it's $175,667.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, and this next one is a brand new grant from the state. This is the State Fiscal Year 25 Next Generation Grant. This is really kind of to start getting the state in line for building out the EzyNet and going next generation 911. So this is really focusing on networking and call handling systems. $1,515,197.
We have a motion. Do we have
second?
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions?
So, if this is new, what do we plan on spending the money on?
So, this is again a five-year grant. So, we have up to 5 years to spend this money. It'll probably we're still looking at our options on this. But upgrade to the phone system, should allow us to be able to put the phone system in the backup center over at Civil Defense. So we'll have to do an upgrade there to be able to add additional positions in that site. And then we're also talking with a couple of the other counties to look at joining systems together to allow for flow between county CAD systems.
So those would come back to you as, you know, awards of contracts, bids, those sort of things. This is just accepting the money, but it's going to take a while to spend it.
Okay.
When you say add positions at Civil Defense, do you mean actual employment positions or positions that people can sit in if there was ever a problem?
Second
one, yes. Not correct. Additional people.
Yeah, that's that would be the right. No, that would be the backup center for we added that space over there for a backup dispatch center, but that space is still empty. We need to start filling that space so that we can move people over there in the event of an emergency.
Okay.
Do we currently use the same systems that our adjacent counties use?
So it depends on the county. Within CAD systems, Livingston and Allegheny use the same CAD system as we do. Phone systems, I think Livingston has the same phone system as us. And it all depends. But again, we could look at software, third-party software that allow us to sync those systems up so that we can see each other's data and information and share that. Specifically, like when we get into another flood scenario or severe storm and our calls are rolling over to Allegheny or Livingston or Yates, they would be able to have access to our data and be able to enter calls right into our CAD. That's the ultimate goal of what the state is looking for in this grant.
I guess one other question I have, not necessarily for this item, but in general, and it goes off of the email Jack sent us last week about this federal government dropping funding and potential cuts to the state for us. What would happen with emergency services if all the grants they get go away? How does that?
We'd be in big trouble. We'd be a couple million dollars in the hole between projects. Projects would essentially stop in terms of state funding. We'd have to discuss local funding for those projects. The 200 grand or so that we get to offset salaries would go away. There's a number of others. I personally am, famous last words, less concerned about this pot of funding because this is primarily derived from the 911 surcharge. And as you'll recall over the years, the state, I just saw an article about it again 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. the state retains and has been criticized along with New Jersey by the FCC for retaining most of the 911 surcharge money and using it for general fund in the tens of millions of dollars, close to $100 million that they just keep, that we all pay when we pay our cell phone bill. They just divert most of it to the general fund. About, was it, Tim, 10 years ago, they started leaking this money out, started doing smaller grants and saying, hey, look, we're doing something. So this pot of funding in relation to the federal government, I'm not as concerned. I'm more concerned personally, and Tim talked about it a little bit with the flood mitigation last month, is the FEMA funding and everything with FEMA. If there are major changes with FEMA, it already looks like mitigation funds are on the chopping block at the federal level. It won't have a operational budgetary impact on us, but it'll allow us in conjunction with soil and water and, you know, our other partners to do less mitigation work, which obviously has a detrimental effect on our waterways based on what we've seen over the last 3 years. So it's a long way to say, I think this pot of funding is good. It's the emergency management and mitigation that I'm more concerned about.
Because for years, he'll come and present something and just say, well, it's paid for by Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get relaxed about that. Mm-hmm. But you wonder if, you know, I doubt that one would ever be cut.
Mm-hmm.
But without those grants, it would totally change our budget.
You get $30 million in federal revenue every year. So minor and approximately the same in state aid. Minor changes in those can have multi-million dollar impacts.
Okay.
Yeah. So the state interoperable communications grant and the PSAP grant are both state grants that come out of the state, the surcharge money from cell phones. So that money is probably going to be here. The state will continue to support those programs along with this new next generation grant that I just proposed to you. That again is state funding.
It's a good question, and I think we're going to be having more discussion at finance next week about that in relation to the long term fiscal planning, because my fear, especially on the Medicaid side, is we all, you know, the article that I emailed you. But it could impact programs like this. It could impact all of our programs that the state has historically, when they face hard financial times, or in this case, the threat of federal cuts, they might not reduce the program. They'll just shift the cost. Right. And if they do, they could do that across the 36 or so mandated services that you all provide.
So they mandate them, but then they cut the amount they reimburse right. for it, but it's still mandated.
Right. A lot of
them down.
A lot of you weren't on the board at the time, but at right after the Great Recession, the housing crisis, with a stroke of a pen, they reduced aid across the board, not every single program, but most of the programs by about 6%. That was a few million dollars budget impact right away.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get too comfortable with these grants. And I agree with Scott. We really got to look at them a little harder.
Yeah, no, we do. I think a lot, because most of these programs do fund projects or infrastructure or equipment, then it becomes a local decision of, do you do that with local funds? Now, in areas like this or the sheriffs or others, if you don't replace technology, there's going to be an operational impact.
Right.
But there are some programs that you do provide that are federally funded that you would have the choice of decontinue.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. All right. We already have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
All right. Next item is the fiber connection to the Hammett Sport Ambulance building in the amount of $5,280.
And we are looking for authorization to spend out of the, we have a capital project from the original Southern Tier network. And there's a balance of about $400,000 in there that could be used for fiber. So we are looking to spend out of that.
Okay. I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
All right. Next item on the agenda. We had an RFP out for hazard mitigation planning consultants. This is to do the five-year update of our hazard mitigation plan. We do have federal funding for this that's currently allocated. We are recommending, while we had one, two, three, seven bids, proposals that came in, ranging from close to $160,000 to the lowest was $69,250. But we are recommending the award to H2O Partners out of Texas. They are proposed price of $117,520.
Now, are they offering better services, or do they come higher recommended? Or
so between our office and the planning department, we went through a matrix and ranked these based upon criteria that was spelled out within the RFP. And from that, we scored each of the respondents and came up with the H2O Partners as the highest rank of all of the vendors that are within the price range of what we have grant funding to spend.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Carol.
I'm sorry. We have done that mitigation plan, what, 5 years ago? Or?
Yep. Yes, that's correct.
Did the company that did it 5 years ago bid on it this time?
Yes, they did.
They didn't get the bid?
They were beyond the price that we have in the grant to be able to fund the project.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Hilda.
So did the bids go out to everybody in the committee so that you saw them?
All of the proposals came in hard copy. We would have to scan them all in. It's very fun reading. Even the planning director did not like reading these proposals.
So yeah,
that'll but, tell you something.
But it's a
but we it, can.
It's a good point to tag on to Scott's. I think we can do a spreadsheet for you, break down vendor costs, those sort of things, and make sure that we get that to you prior.
Yeah, I can certainly send you a breakdown of the way that we scored these.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, even just the seven listed, you know, with the prices so that we can see it.
Yeah, they do that in Public Works. I mean, it's easy to look at those bids. That's how they do it. So,
right. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second? We have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
We also put out an award for RFP for radio consultants. It's been quite a while since we have actually put that out for bid or for proposal. Andy recommended that we put it back out. And so we had three vendors that came back with quotes for that. And our recommendation would be to continue to work with Telvate. They came back with a cost of $150,000 for a five-year contract. So basically it breaks out to be about $30,000 annually for a five-year agreement.
I'll move it.
Second.
You have a motion and a second. Are there any questions?
No, but the experiences I've had in the meetings with Telvate, they were amazing. I mean, those people speak a totally different language. And unless you understand it, it's just gibberish.
So what is this radio consultant supposed to do?
So basically, any of the radio projects that we work on, these consultants we use for basically reference, but they have radio engineers. We're not radio engineers. We can't look at a proposal and say this proposal and the equipment they're proposing is correct for what we have to do. The radio engineers can come in, they can look at proposals, they can make recommendations. And several times they have saved us money and time and effort fighting with Motorola on things that Motorola wants to do that we, you know, are basically fighting them on, and they can come back with the details that, you know, what we're trying to explain, but
that they actually at times act as a broker in some ways, that they have the knowledge because they're radio engineers to be able to and it's been a while since I've been on the Zooms with them, but they can say to Motorola, why didn't you engineer it this way? What if we did this? What if we did this? And they can show them coverage maps that they develop on their own. And like Tim said, there's a number of times that we've had Motorola agreed to those changes at a savings to us.
Yep.
This is for all your tower sites, correct?
This is for the whole radio system. So as we're, you know, we've already got Telvate on board. We're working on the regional project. But this would be for the rest of our future planning for our radio system beyond where we're going with the radio, you know, with the regional radio project. These guys were instrumental in making the changes and adjustments we did in the Corning area to pick up better coverage down there for the firefighters that were complaining about the radio coverage when we went to the new high band system. We made some antenna moves. We made some antenna changes. You know, they ran quite a bit of coverage maps to show the difference between what would happen if we did this versus that. And we made the decisions that ultimately, I think, have worked out really well because we don't get the complaints now that we used to when we first turned the radio system on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think consultants has a bad name sometimes, and these people are more like paid professionals our side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think most of you have heard some of this already, but we're asking for authorization to enter into a memorandum of agreement with the Correction Officer Dispatchers and Court Security Unit. And this is in relation to, obviously, was started by the need and desire to bring in the former state corrections officers. And what we're looking to do is to amend where the folks with previous experience can be hired. Previously, it was capped at step 5 in the salary grid, and we're looking to go to the top at step 7.
And you actually, the guys that are currently there, we talked about.
We're going to do those. Yeah, we intend to do those as well.
Are there any? Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. One item on the agenda and then just one informational after. So the contract renewal, if you recall, a year ago, we did an RFP for a assigned council administrator, which after I think we shared at the time, Indigent, the Office of Indigent Legal Services, did not like our plan of having that in-house, which is why we went back to contracting for this, which we did for many, many years prior. Not inexpensive. The last year of experience has gone very, very well. Yvonne does help. She does a tremendous job and does a lot of work on the processing side because they can't process the actual vouchers, but they get everything ready. They're the ones who handle the assignments and deal with the courts and deal with the attorneys. Yvonne does the administrative side. She's picked that up. It's a annual cost not to exceed $150,000. We do have that budgeted. We do have ILS reimbursement for a majority of that. And it's just a contract extension, what we're looking for. It has gone well.
How long of an extension?
Oh, 1 year. Option of 3 1-year renewals. So this would be the second renewal or first renewal.
Sean, you've been happy with their service?
Yes.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Under new business, I want to bring up the sheriff did the presentation for us last month. And then I've had conversations with Jack about this, with the possibility of, you know, putting on more deputies for extra coverage. So we have one thing that we had to make sure of before we could do this or look into this is if we had vehicles. The sheriff's department does have a couple of spare vehicles, plus they have the two that we just got awarded through the grant that we accepted last month that will be coming. Jack is looking at some numbers, running some information to see, you know, how we could do this and get something on this year. And then we can look at it in budget terms, not proposing, not looking to guarantee that we can do, you know, the two every 6 months. I appreciate the sheriff, you know, putting together that for us so we could see some data. But what Jack has looked into is possibly hiring a couple now and then we can look into a lot more data to put together a plan off from what the sheriff gave us. But it's to do something so we can help with some of that coverage where somebody's one or two people out there, you know, in the middle of the night. But what Jack has talked to me about is nothing to vote on today, but bringing it in our June meeting for, you know, Jack will have his paperwork and stuff that he needs to do. But I just wanted to bring that up because the one thing that we had to make sure was that we had vehicles, you know, but it'll take time to hire anyway. We'll probably be at budget time. But I also asked the sheriff if we do this, if there's candidates out there. And he's assured me that there's a couple that have reached out that are eligible to come to the sheriff's department if we had positions for them. So, you know, vehicles that I just wanted to let you guys know the research that I had did there, and Jack's going to put together the rest of the stuff for us and we'll have it on our June agenda. So go ahead.
I happened to zoom in on that meeting. I thought it was very well done. I thought the presentation was great. I made some notes and I didn't bring my notes, but so I forget the specific points, but I'm glad you're moving on this now. I really am. I think it's something that's needed. I know I walked away from the meeting saying, you know, we need this. And I think, Mr. Horton, you brought it up that, you know, over the 3 years, let's just put this into effect, you know, a little at a time. That was a good idea. But I thought the presentation was well done. More than anything, to the sheriff, I'm glad you brought in some of your fellow officers to speak, because that made a huge difference. Not that you didn't, but that it really made a difference to hear their perspective and some of the needs that they have to have. So I'm glad we're putting this into effect. I'm glad we're starting to talk about it. I'm glad we're going to hopefully move on it next month.
And they forgot their thumb drive, so we got to hear the real truth.
There we go.
Yeah.
It wasn't reading off a screen.
Yeah.
All right. No.
One item for information to follow up, and been doing Mr. Sprague has been doing a lot behind the scenes. Just you probably would assume it, but just to let you know, anytime you folks pass a contract idea, something like that, goes to risk manager, because you know, we have to insure it. We have to do that. A wrinkle has come up with the Point of the Bluff contract. Again, no one's fault. It's just one of those things that you don't know until you ask the insurance carrier. But it turns out that correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Sprague, but it seems like a job class code issue, primarily that if we contract with a private entity and are receiving reimbursement and they are providing security services, that's not contemplated under our law enforcement coverage of our insurance policy. So then what do we have? We have a couple options. We can go out to try to get a different insurance, but then we have problems there because number one is probably going to be pretty expensive. Number two, our insurance carrier is probably going to say, why are you getting additional insurance for this? So all that's to say, and again, law enforcement coverage is the sheriff's purview and his decisions. If there's patrols in the area of a mass gathering, whether it be Point of the Bluff, whether it be the sheriff mentioned before, fall foliage, obviously the fair, those sort of things, without reimbursement, and they get called in because there's a need, then that is law enforcement response covered by our insurance. If they are specifically posted there and we are receiving, our insurance carrier is not comfortable with that. So no action needed, just to let you know, it falls within the sheriff's purview, certainly, to be able to post where he sees the public safety need, but the getting reimbursement from them was not kosher with our insurance carrier. So
that's why it wasn't on the monthly meeting agenda last month.
Correct. Because once it made it to Mr. Sprague, the question is, and it was a lot of work, and the sheriff and Mr. Sprague worked together to get the answers the insurance carrier needed. And they finally opined, I don't know, what was it, late Friday, Scott, something like that.
So then do we as a committee have to resend the motion, or it never, because the full legislature didn't pass?
Because it didn't go to it would require the full board to contract because they didn't do anything. The county attorney doesn't have a contract to approve the form. It just doesn't happen. But again, the sheriff can post where and how he sees fit. It's just a matter of getting reimbursement and doing what the insurance carrier termed security services within a private facility. So
Nick, I have a question for you. This would be for you for the fair. I mean, I get the sheriff, anybody can answer it, but it's a fair. You don't pay the sheriffs, right?
Correct. And there's also a New York State Department of Agriculture law that says that law enforcement has to provide safety and security for the fairs, particularly the troopers, and it also falls under the Sheriff's Department.
But that's what I meant. We don't get paid back.
No,
they just wander around. They know it's a mass gathering, so they're in the area. They're on site wherever.
And it's very into the weeds in talking and doing the research and working with Mr. Sprague, because, you know, like many of you, I go to CMAC, I go to Bills games, I see sheriff's deputies. Those properties are owned by the municipality. And that's a difference.
Well, no, I just meant we're not getting reimbursed.
So, nope.
I mean, if the sheriff has three deputies that are 30-second response time from where there is, then that, I just wondered how that worked. I wanted to make sure we weren't getting reimbursed from one. Because if that was the case, I hate to say it, but I'd almost turn all their money away.
And that's some of the stuff that we discussed. So
we don't want to.
So operationally, have the ability to fill whatever gap the sheriff identifies, if there is a gap, or where response is needed. But getting a contract and reimbursing would not be insured by our insurance company.
So is the difference that they're a third-party for-profit organization and not a nonprofit?
That's one of the differences.
That we're getting compensated or reimbursed for?
Both.
To me, it makes sense that if they are not a nonprofit, if they're a for-profit agency, you shouldn't be using municipal law enforcement to help them with security.
That's one of the things. And I mean, Jeff and I were talking about it before the meeting. The comptrollers weighed in on this issue specifically related to Watkins Glen, because that's a huge thing. And everyone's found ways to comply with what the comptroller and the AG want. So it's a very way more complex than I thought when it came to you last month. But again, this is the process when there's a contract insurance, most of the, I mean, how many times have we brought something back and said insurance isn't comfortable with it. Not often, but it does happen. So no harm, no foul. It's just can't get reimbursed.
Well, given the current state of our insurance expenses, we don't want to add additional risks that they're not going to cover.
Yeah. So that's all I had for you.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything? Go ahead, Hilda.
This isn't related to this committee, but I just wanted to apologize. I think I've sent enough emails out to everybody. I was putting the strategic planning meeting on my calendar, and somehow it generated 150 emails to everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. I've sent two more follow-up emails uninviting them. People are still accepting the invitation. So I have no idea who's coming. But we will be here, and people who shouldn't be here, I don't know. We'll have to figure out how to uninvite them, but I don't know what else I can do but send out another email.
We have that deputy that can be 30 feet away from
there,
the building.
There you go.
They're not allowed in.
And we have worked with Brenda and others in terms of open meetings, and I worked with Ian and a bunch of our counterparts. The meeting is posted on our website, but it is not, you are not taking official action, which is allowable as informational, educational, team building. That is an allowable exception under open meetings law, but we post it anyhow, just not hiding anything.
They have nothing else to do with that. Interested, they'll show up.
How far into the mimosas were you that day?
It was coming, it wasn't even here yet.
Okay,
all right. Is there any other questions or anything else to be brought up? If not, do we have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second,
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carries.
No question for you.